Now I'd like to ask Dr. Buff for his presentation.
Okay, thanks, Chair. As introduced, my name is Jae-jok Park. I work for Hanguk University of Foreign Studies. I'm very much honored and pleased to make a presentation before this distinguished audience, more so because I'm very proud of being Australian product. I did my PhD from Australian National University. The main topic I would like to discuss today is whether and to what extent South Korea and Australia should cooperate with the United States in expanding the US-led minilateralism in the Asia-Pacific. To do so, I would like to begin with pointing out one of the major characteristics of the United States operating the hub and spoke system in the Asia-Pacific. Like during the Cold War period, U.S. has been operating the hub and spoke system inclusively, meaning interlocking between individual U.S.-led alliances. A prime example is TSD, Trilateral Strategic Dialogue among Australia, United States, and Japan. TSD has been linking between U.S.-Japan and U.S.-Australia alliances, as a result of which the security cooperation between Japan and Australia has been remarkably enhanced. Likewise, in the Northeast Asian sphere, U.S. has been attempting to link between U.S. ROK and U.S.-Japan alliances so that the two spoke states, Japan and South Korea, can create a virtual alliance relationship. However, such attempts has not been unsuccessful, mainly due to the very strong historical animosity between Japan and South Korea. As these two cases attest, United States has been stepping up efforts to facilitate minilateralism in this region, despite the fact that China perceives it as China encirclement and strongly asserts that it is an outmoded relic from the Cold War. In particular, despite Chinese strong criticism, the United States has been attempting to expand the TSD to a QSD that includes India. In the past, the idea of Quad had been dismissed by Australia because Australia had distanced itself from any suggestion of ganging up on China. Because of its very strong economic relationship with China. However, the idea of Quad has a potential to revive. First, Australia has been recently very cooperative with the United States in deploying U.S. military assets on Australian soil. For example, this year's OSMIN, the 2+2 talks between the United States and Australia, the new force posture agreement was signed. It clearly stated that U.S. airmen as well as U.S. Marines are going to deploy in Darwin and Northern Territory of Australia. And they are going to build infrastructure for an expanding U.S. Air Force presence. Juxtaposing this disagreement, there have been media reports that U.S. may use the Cocos Island for U.S. drones and use naval facilities in Perth for U.S. ships. Second, India has been conducting more military exercises with the United States than any other states in this region, with more than 60 military exercises conducted in the past decade. Third, India and Japan held two summit meetings this year, announcing that they are going to regularize naval military exercises. Fourth, Prime Minister Modi's trip to Australia last month was the first by an Indian Prime Minister almost in 30 years' time. Lastly, but not leastly, the spatial discourse in the Pacific has gained popularity in Australia and in India, as well as in the United States and in Japan, which can be utilized as a geographical ground for the Quad. I'll come back to this point shortly. Now, let me briefly discuss the situation in Northeast Asia. In Northeast Asia, Security cooperation between Australia and Japan, Australia and South Korea has been rapidly on the rise. Two states signed JISOMIA, and FTA, as Ambassador mentioned. And the two states have been holding various high-level talks, including their first 2+2 last year. Several minutes ago, I pointed out the security cooperation between Japan and Australia has been remarkably enhanced. To note, VFA, Visiting Forces Agreement between Japan and Australia has been negotiated since last June. If signed, it would make it easier for the three states, United States, Japan, and Australia, to conduct military exercises in Japan. Indeed, Australia participated in the military exercise between Japan and the United States a couple of months ago, was the first Australia's participation in military exercises in Japan. So Australia could not send a large number of soldiers to Japan because the VFAA has not been signed yet. Successful Japan-Australia security cooperation and South Korea-Australia security cooperation could imply the possibility of Japan-South Korea-Australia security cooperation or U.S.-South Korea-Australia security cooperation in the future. At the summit meeting between President Park and Prime Minister Abbott this year, confirmed the importance of trilateral security cooperation between among the United States, Australia, and South Korea. Australian media reported, I think it was August this year, the U.S. has been working toward integrate Australian warships into ballistic missile defense systems in Northeast Asia in order to build up U.S. MD system in the Asia Pacific. Indeed, there have been practices of trilateral or quadrilateral security cooperation involving South Korea, Australia, Japan, and the United States in the context of more multilateral military exercises for responding to non-traditional security issues and the PSI. All that said, now I'd like to talk about issues to consider in promoting security cooperation between Australia and South Korea in the context of trilateral or multilateral security cooperation. First, there has been impression or misimpression that Australia has been tilted toward China encirclement. Of course, Australia has been trying to mitigate Chinese concerns. For example, Australia invited China to military exercises held last month between the United States and Australia. Then the first question I would like to throw for a session, this facilitated session discussion, is that given that China perceives the linkage of the U.S.-led alliances as China encirclement, what would be deliberate and strategic approach in determining the level of South Korea's and Australia's cooperation with the United States in expanding U.S.-led unilateralism? Could secure cooperation between South Korea and Australia extend up to the level of conducting bilateral military exercises? Should we put it on the agenda for the next 2+2 meeting, which is going to be held next year in Canberra? The second issue to consider is that some South Korean security elites suspect that Australia has been or will be tilted toward Japanese security posture than South Korea's security posture. Last year, Prime Minister Abbott described Abe's Japan as Australia's best friend in Asia, upsetting South Koreans and Chinese. Some South Koreans claim that Australia has been backing the remilitarization of Japan under the guise of encouraging it to become a normal state. Then how can Australia and South Korea work toward get rid of some South Korean security elites' concern that Australia has been tilted toward more Japan's security interests than South Korea's? Third, following the second issue, I was wondering what could inducement What could induce South Korea to expand substantial security cooperation with South Korea? Should the list include cooperation in the area of defense industry, like the one between Japan and Australia on the development of Australian submarines? What are the areas for practical security cooperation between the two states? I'll stop here and look forward to your thoughts and comments on my presentation. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you, JJ.